You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio.
I am officially retiring from the NFL and Green Bay Packers. And
here he goes. To the 40, the 30, the 20. Touchdown, Prince.
Let me tell you what happened. I make that I drop like a sack of potatoes. What crawl on the cracker later?
Freeze.
Simo Sports Rap, only on Ship to Shore Radio.
What's going on, everybody? It's another Thursday night edition of the Simo Sports Rap. And it is Christmas time. Yes, it's going to affect the NFL schedule this week. If anybody looked at it, we have one game on Sunday. The other games are either on. We still have a Monday night game, Thursday night game, and we do have the rest on Saturday. So treat Saturday like Sunday. If you guys aren't out shopping, yeah, shopping is crazy these days. I just did get a new job, and I don't know if they just, I don't know, it seems like they just never get done shopping, but I don't think I'm going to be able to watch any NFL games on Saturday, do that, 12 to 6 o'clock, and then straight to the Keys to visit my family. Well, let's kick it off. At 30 past the hour today, I will have my status week as usual. But I will also welcome Division II star Kyle Kizer from Nebraska at Kearney. He finished his career with about over 5,000 all-purpose yards and 38 touchdowns. Just an amazing athlete, and I'm happy to have him on the show. And his life after college is now beginning, and he has a bright future ahead of him. And I have him on the air today to talk about his future and what he's doing right now. So just give me about 30 minutes, and we'll have him on the show. Let's kick it off with top news. Monday Night Football this week, kind of a crazy game, 49ers and Steelers. It wasn't really the matchup you were looking for. Big Ben, you know, he wasn't Big Ben. He's played with injuries before, but this one was probably the worst he's ever played with. Big ankle injury. He really couldn't even, I mean, you need, I know you just think, oh, quarterback, if you could just walk around a little bit and throw the ball. Well, you need your ankle to plant and to get something under the ball. And not saying that he can't do that, but when you're used to doing the same thing over and over, you know, it's hard to do something different. And he had 3 picks, no touchdowns, and you can see it just wasn't him. 49ers won that one easily. Floyd may, also in that game, sorry, there was 2 power outages, one before the game. Transformer, you can actually see on the TV the transformer in the parking lot blew, and then the whole stadium went dark. But it only delayed a few, like about 20 minutes, and another power outage went in during the second quarter, and that, you know, it didn't really affect. I mean, the 49ers are rolling, so we kind of thought maybe it would affect their momentum. But like I said, Big Ben played the whole game, and a lot of opinions on that afterwards saying that he probably shouldn't have. He just wasn't a good quarterback. He couldn't do anything. I think he still had about 330 yards, though. But, you know, 3 picks, no touchdowns. That's not usually what Big Ben does. So they had the first spot. As of that, well, they would have won. They would have had the first spot in the AFC. But with the loss, they remain at 5th with the wild card. And moving on, Floyd Mayweather going to jail for 90 days. for domestic violence. He pled guilty. He's actually 42-0 lifetime in the ring. And obviously, him and Manny Pacquiao hopefully will fight soon, or at least in my lifetime. I don't care when it is, but I guess that will be on hold for 90 days. Just interesting news. Not really surprised. If you didn't hear already, last week, the winless Colts won big time. They beat the Titans, and they're now 1-13. The undefeated Packers as well. It's hard because, like, I guess compared to the Packers losing, which I was just about to say, they lost to the Chiefs, Kyle Orton. Amazing. Who would have thought out of all the quarterbacks who played this year that he would be the one to save the Dolphins? He got cut earlier by Denver for Tim Tebow, who obviously turned out to be a good decision because Tim Tebow did nothing but win since then. But Kyle Orton to just reemerge like this and to beat, I mean, it was more than just him, obviously. You know, everybody tends to just put the win or the loss on the quarterback, but, you know, he obviously did a big part in that game. And, you can't stand up on the defense as well. Packers were missing Greg Jennings and Randy Starks, but, you know, they still had a lot of weapons that they couldn't pull it off. So Chiefs won. And like I said, the Colts won. And the Packers lost. And that means there are no undefeated teams or there are no winless teams in the NFL. Colts are now 1-13. And on the other end of the spectrum, the Packers are 13-1. So for me, it's good. I mean, I'm a huge underdog fan, so I love to see the Colts win. Nobody likes to go 0-16, and I got a feel for a fan like that. The Dolphins were in that position not too long ago, and our first win came, and it was beautiful. So good for that. And more on that later. So yes, pop bottles, 72 Dolphins. I'm sure they have already. Kobe Bryant, his wife files for divorce, and I heard he's expected to, or she's expected to get around $75 million, which is, I mean, it's just what it is. It's the court systems. If you can't see that clearly he made all that money and she didn't, then you're blind, but I guess you just have to follow the law and how everything's supposed to work. But whatever. They're both extremely rich now. And meanwhile, Kobe tears a ligament in his wrist after taking a hard fall in the first preseason game against the Clippers. He sat on the second preseason game against Clippers, and he is 50-50 chance maybe I'm playing Christmas Day. The players are optimistic that he'll play. The coach doesn't know. So we'll see how that pans out. The Bears, after losing Jay Cutler, has been really shaky at the quarterback position with Caleb Haney. And apparently they're going to go with Josh McCown this week against the Packers on Christmas Day. And I heard a local car company, a local car dealership, offering free cars if the Bears shut out the Packers. And I was thinking, so, you know, if they shut them out, then, you know, how many, they're going to not have any cars left. But there is one condition. You have to buy the car before the game. And if they shut them out, and you come back, and they'll give you all your money back. So, that is kind of a risk, but, yeah, it's just stupid. I mean, the Bears, obviously, I mean, it's not, you know, super unlikely or anything. The Bears, obviously, a great defense, but let's face it, the Packers are going to put at least three on the board. So, if anybody really, I'm sure there's going to be people out there that are going to go buy some cars right now. But, yeah, it'd be interesting, though. But kudos to anybody that definitely takes that risk. In the NBA news, Warriors, Monte Ellis, I guess he's being sued for sexual texting. Just interesting news. Speaking of NBA, is right around the corner, starting on Sunday, Christmas Day. And so you got an action-packed weekend with sports. NFL on Saturday, one NFL game on Sunday. And obviously, which I will not be concerned about the NFL because the Miami Heat will be debuting their first game of the season on, as well as five other games. The Heat will be playing at 2:30, playing at Dallas. And just on the subject, the Heat's opener will be two days later on the 27th, hosting the Boston Celtics. And the 66-game season is just about to start. So good luck on that. And yes, the preseason has started. It's not long, but it's here, and it's going to be fun. And the Heat so far are 1-1. They just lost last night to the Magic by 4, but no big deal on that. Let's talk bowl games. Let's get it started with the bowl I attended on Tuesday night, the Beefo Brady's Bowl. 8-4 FIU, that's my alumni, obviously, and 6-6 Marshall. You know, it's a long bus ride, about 5 hours. I did a little checkup on Marshall, not knowing anything about their team or their season. And they won an overtime game in the last game of the year at playing Eastern Carolina. So I was thinking, I mean, if they didn't win that game, they wouldn't have been bowl eligible. They have to have a 50-50 record or better or a conference win in order to participate in bowls. And so I didn't think that they were that. They had a tough schedule, but, you know, I just thought that FIU had a better season. But did not. It started at 10 a.m. That's when the buses left. That was up at 9 to get ready. And with that, 4 hours of pre-gaming, the game itself, and then about another 5 hours on the way back, I didn't get home until about 6 a.m. Had to be up at work at about an hour and a half. All fun. But, yes, it was a lot of work, and the Panthers did not win. Marshall went 20-10, and it was just, yeah, it was just a bad second half for the Panthers. No touchdowns, no field goals, no points whatsoever in the second half. And after a 10-10 tie at half, Marshall just kind of took it over. So it was a little depressing my last year, obviously, but, you know, still fresh in my mind is last year's Little Caesars Pizza Bowl win playing Toledo, which was one of the best finishes I've seen in any game, period. And so I finished up my 5 years this year. Well, next year at FIU. But I'll always be a Panthers fan, so good plan for them. Other bowls that have been played so far, the New Mexico Bowl, it was a pair of 8-4s, Temple and Wyoming. And Temple won pretty easily, 37-15. The Idaho Potato Bowl, 9-4 Ohio, and 7-5 Utah State. And Ohio wins by 1, 24-23. The R&L Carriers Bowl featured 8-4 Louisiana Lafayette and 8-4 San Diego State and Sunbelt team Lafayette wins 32-30, same conference as the FIU Panthers. So, you know, I always root for them in the bowl games at least. In the Poinsettia Bowl yesterday, TCU barely won, 31-24. It was a really close game. And TCU, obviously, is a pretty good team, number 18 in the country, beating Boise State for one of the last wins of the year. And it was a really close game, honestly. TCU scored a touchdown late to take the win. So surprising that it went that far, but it was a good game. And the main bowls don't start until January. The Rose Bowl featuring number 10 Wisconsin and number 5 Oregon. It's on January 2nd, as well also the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl with number 4 Stanford and number 3 Oklahoma State. So that'll be a good day of bowl games. January 3rd, you have the All-State Sugar Bowl with number 13 Michigan and number 11 Virginia Tech. And January 4th, you have the Discover Orange Bowl with number 23 West Virginia and number 15 Clemson. And the AT&T Cotton Bowl on January 6th with number 8 Kansas State and number 6 Arkansas. That should be a good one. And last, January 9th, the All-State BCS National Championship with number 2 Alabama and number 1 LSU. So that should definitely be a good set of bowl games for January. And there's a bunch of other bowls, too. Just, you know, I'm not going to sit here and name them all. And, you know what? Since I have, I definitely have a lot going on at 30 past the hour, I think we'll kick it off. Bright. Well, it is the Southern Most Sports Wrap stat of the week. It is 16 past the hour. Not quite 30, but either way, you know, good stats today. I've talked about the 49ers earlier, and through 14 games, they have not given up a single rushing touchdown. That's never happened before in the NFL for that long. And the next closest team in the NFL has given up six. That's 14 straight weeks of not giving up a rushing touchdown. That's amazing. I mean, you're talking about a team, you know, all they have to do is get to the one-yard line. If it's first down, they have maybe four chances to run the ball straight 1 yard to get a touchdown. And that scenario has not happened. Just to give you an idea why the 49ers are as good as they are this year in the record, with their defense, it's just amazing. Their offense is okay, but defense wins championships, and there's proof right there. And my other stat, just spoke of before, the Sun Belt team, Louisiana Lafayette, gets their first bowl appearance in 41 years, and it took advantage of it, beating San Diego State. So the rest of them, you know, Sun Belt obviously is, you know, it's not like a huge conference compared to the SEC or anything like that, but it's good to see them get bowl wins. And, you know, we got about 13 minutes before Kyle Kaiser joins me on the show. So let's just I'm going to get into just a little NFL, I guess, we'll start it off. Last week, another great set of games. I think last week was definitely the best week so far, for me at least. I started off Thursday night. It was the Falcons and the Jaguars, and no competition. Falcons won 41-14, and Falcons are now 9-5. Their schedule isn't that hard this year, but they're winning against all the teams they should. So their record definitely looking good, and if they win another one, they're pretty much set for the wild card spot. Cowboys and Buccaneers played on Saturday night. Cowboys won pretty easily, 31-15. It was 28-0 at half, so that game's over pretty early. I know the Cowboys have been known to give up leads. So, no, I don't think anybody was turning off the TV or nothing and walking away, but the Bucs, excuse me about that, the Buccaneers just really don't have an offense. So, good win for the Cowboys, but they have a lot. They have the Philadelphia Eagles this week, and they have the Giants, which is going to be a huge game to end the season. So it's still a tough road ahead of them, but they do control their own fate, control their own destiny. And the Cowboys is a lot of fans, so a lot of people are going to be tuning into that. So let's definitely see what happens with them. Definitely the most interesting team to watch for the next two games. Last week, Bengals-Rams. Bengals just hanging on there. They won 20-13. The record is 8-6, and they still have a shot at the playoffs. I didn't think it was possible, but, you know, they're hanging on there. They're pretty much not winning their last two games, but they do. They'll be 10-6, and I think that'll get them in. So a lot of teams, man. A lot of teams have a chance, and it's going to be really, really fun to watch. Dolphins-Bills. This is one of my favorite games of the week, obviously. It was 30-23 Dolphins. I guess the Bills scored a couple TDs late or something. It was 30-13, I thought, at one point in the fourth quarter. So it was honestly a blowout, but looks like a 7-point win. Reggie Bush, get more on him later. Obviously, he had a huge game. The Titans and the Colts. This is obviously one of the big games I was talking about. Colts only 3 points in the first half, but 24 in the second, winning 27-13. And just a great game, honestly. The Colts just handed it to the Titans. The Titans were one of those teams I actually thought were going to make the playoffs this year. And I guess the Colts play a spoiler, but more importantly, they're getting their first win. Still will finish with the worst record in the NFL and get the first pick. But all that talk about Peyton Manning possibly coming back to play a game or two, definitely not going to happen now. That was the only reason he would have played, honestly, was to maybe pull out a win, but no need for that. So Colts get their first win. They're 1-13. Titans fall to 7-7. Playoff chances are looking bad with two games left, but they're still in the hunt. Redskins Giants. This is the one of the upsets of the week, amongst others, obviously. Giants winning an important game last week against the Cowboys. All they had to do was play the Redskins at home, the 4-9 Redskins, and the Redskins handed it to them 23-10. I believe Eli had three picks. It was unbelievable. I backed up Eli last week. He was on pace to almost break the record, the single season passing yard record, with three other quarterbacks. And I just, you know, anybody that's going to do that has obviously had a fantastic year. But just one of those games. I mean, I know the Redskins aren't horrible right now, but, you know, the Giants have to win that game, and they just did not play like a playoff team. But they're definitely still alive in the playoff hunt. Saints-Vikings. Saints just blew out the Vikings. More on Drew Brees later, but, yeah, he had a huge game. And just another loss for the Vikings. They're now 2-12 in the season. Saints improved 11-3. And the upset of the week was the Packers and the Chiefs. Talked about it earlier. Chiefs win 19-14 behind Kyle Orton in that defense. And just a great win. I was as happy as anybody. It wasn't on TV, but I was eyeing my phone all the time. And just an amazing, amazing victory for the Chiefs. Just out of nowhere. I mean, the Packers, you talk about the last few games for these teams sometimes. When you're undefeated, usually when you come down to week 15, 16, sometimes you have things clinched, you know, so the urge to win falls a little bit. But I don't know if that was the case. I think any team would love to go 16-0. You know, how many opportunities do you really have at that? You know, when you look back 30 years from now, you know, you want to say that you did that. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, look at the 72 Dolphins. I mean, every year they're talking about them. I mean, it's just, I would assume that they were trying really hard. It's just the Chiefs, honestly, are a horrible team. They had a couple of good weeks this year. I mean, they've looked good a couple times, but they've looked really bad. So I'm really surprised that out of all teams that the Packers have played, that the Chiefs are the one to knock them off. But either way, it happened. So congrats to the Chiefs. And the Packers, I can now root for you a little bit. I don't hate you guys, but if you guys went to the postseason 16-0, there's no way I'm rooting for you whatsoever. Panthers-Texans, this is a bit of an upset. Texans at home. Panthers a 4-9 team. Blowing out the Texans, 28-13 behind Cam Newton. And I just kind of – I mean, I know I've been talking about the Panthers all year. They obviously had an impressive year, but their record obviously said that they were a bad team. And the Texans, you know, obviously having a great year. And just really surprising to see that. But no shock. Panthers score 28 points. They've been doing that all year. So good win for them. Seahawks-Bears. This is actually one of my more proud predictions. I predicted the Seahawks to win big, and they did, 38-14. Starting to wonder about that Bears defense. You know, if they already lost their offense with Forte and Cutler, and if their defense, if this is their defense for the remaining two games, they're done for the season. I honestly, with the amount of teams, the amount of teams that are fighting over those last two wildcard spots, the Bears just honestly did not look good. And they just got stuck. I mean, you look at the Texans. They lost their quarterback, too. They lost their second quarterback, but they still have an okay quarterback. You know, TJ Yates is not bad. But the Bears' second string, Caleb Haney, just has not gotten the job done. And as I said earlier, they are now moving on to Josh McCown to hopefully give some new life. And the Bears definitely need to win out in order to make the playoffs. But it's not looking good. So Seahawks actually, now they win. So now they're 7-7 with the Bears. And, guys, it's going to be crazy. You got a couple teams. I'm going to get to it later, but the Cardinals and the Seahawks. Two teams that nobody expected to be in the playoff hunt. But they're right in the thick of things. Lions-Raiders. Lions escape. Raiders, they won 28-27. Lions improved to 9-5. Raiders fall to 7-7. And, you know, missed field goal by Janikowski that would have won the game for the Raiders. So impressive win for the Lions. I don't know what kind of team they are anymore, to be honest with you. They give up a lot of points. You know, they haven't rushed the ball tremendously. But, you know, with Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson, clearly they have an offense that can beat anybody. So their playoff hopes are definitely alive and well. Jets and Eagles. Eagles are still in the playoff hunt. They have probably the worst odds out of anybody, but they play in the Jets. They've won 45-19, blew out the Jets. I predicted the Jets to win, but the Eagles went 45-19. And keeping the playoff hopes alive, the Jets, they were in position to definitely make the playoffs, but now I don't know. Like I said, there's so many teams. In the AFC, you're fighting over one spot. Let's be honest. The Steelers will make the playoffs. They're going to have that fifth seed. So you have all these teams fighting over that one spot. It's going to get ugly, but it's going to be fun. And like I was talking about earlier, the Cardinals hanging in there too. 20-17 win over the Browns. They're 7-7 now. One of the hottest teams that I've seen in the past, in the second half of the season. At one point, I think they were 1-6 or something, but now they're 7-7. And I think they're a good shot. I mean, because of so many teams, if the Cardinals went out, I think they have a good shot, but it's going to be crazy. And last week couldn't have helped the underdogs more. I mean, it seems like all the teams are just on the outside of the playoff hunt, still in the playoff hunt, but just, you know, with the slimmest hopes, they all won and everybody else lost. So it just made things really interesting this week. And the most talked about game coming into Sunday was the Patriots and the Broncos. I thought the Broncos would win, honestly. Patriots, a lot of points, 41-23 win for the Patriots. They're now 11-3. I didn't expect that offense to do what they did. But, you know, I think Brady, honestly, I can understand a little chip on his shoulder. All the talks have been about Tim Tebow the past 7 weeks and not about anybody else. So I'm sure Brady wanted to come out and, you know, say, hey, I'm still here and I'm one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. You guys should be talking about me. So, big win by the Patriots. Broncos lose. Like I said, just a lot of teams losing last week that, you know, kind of had a good shot. I mean, you talk about the AFC West. I'll get to that later. But top two teams lost and the bottom two teams won. So, that division is really getting interesting. Ravens-Chargers. I did predict this. Chargers won big time, 34-14. The Ravens are a good team. But on the road against the Chargers, who honestly, the Chargers at this point are as good as anybody in the NFL because of just how they play in the second half. And, you know, they're playing excellent. And if I have a good feeling they're going to win out. And we'll see if that's enough for the Chargers. The last game was, I talked about earlier, Steelers, 49ers. 49ers won 20-3. Good enough offense. For the 49ers, and like I said, just no offense for the Steelers, 3 points, and all that because of Big Ben. And his ankle injury, it's going to be hard enough to score points for Steelers, you know, because you're playing the 49ers D on the road. But with the ankle injury as well, it was just basically almost impossible. And I guess I'll just get into my stat leaders. I should have Kyle Kizer on the line any second now. But I'll get really quickly into my stat leaders for last week. Just moving to quarterbacks, Drew Brees, huge game. Huge fantasy game. God, he had so many points. He had a 149.2 rank quarterback rate last week. He finished with 412 yards, 5 touchdowns, no picks, no sacks. I don't know how that doesn't equal a perfect one, which I think is like 152. But obviously he's right there. Matthew Stafford, 391 yards, 4 touchdowns, 2 sacks, no picks. Good game for him. Carson Palmer had 367 yards and 1 touchdown. Ben Roethlisberger, even with the ankle, had 320 yards, but no touchdowns, three picks, three sacks, and one fumble. So, yeah, his quarterback rating was about a 52. It's not good. And for the fifth, it was Tom Brady against the Broncos. He had 320 and two touchdowns, no picks. So good for him. My rushing leaders, just an amazing, amazing game by Reggie Bush. 203 yards. Anybody that watches football enough knows that that's ridiculous. There's only been two of the, it was Ray Rice, Chris Johnson, and Chris Beanie Wells were the only other three players that have been above 200 yards this year. And I mean, it happens, you know. This field's 100 yards long. If you get an 80 or a 90-yard break, you're already almost halfway there, which is exactly what Reggie did. He broke out with a 76-yard run towards the end there to seal it. And just amazing. Who would have thought? He shattered his single-game rushing record, which was like 126. Just amazing. He just had one of those games. And surprising, Donald Brown for the Indianapolis Colts. These two guys have both had a good chance to make my top three plays later on. Yeah, but Donald Brown, 161 yards. He's the backup for Indianapolis and a huge part of that win for them. So he had a big game as well, 161, one touchdown. Maurice Jones-Drew, no surprise, he's always on the list with 112 yards. Arian Foster, 109 yards and one touchdown. And Felix Jones continuing to have 100-yard games for the Cowboys with 108 yards on the ground. And my receiving leaders, Calvin Johnson. This is an amazing game, too. I almost forgot about that. 214 yards last week, two touchdowns. For a receiver, that's ridiculous. He only had 9 receptions. He was averaging 24 a reception. 214 yards for Calvin Johnson. That's amazing. Like I said, that's the reason why they're still a good team with Stafford and Calvin. What a game for him. That's just an amazing stat. I would say it's more amazing than Reggie, but because of it's Reggie Bush, and he's not really supposed to be an every down back, I'm still going to give the crown to Reggie last week, but just a fantastic statistical game for Calvin Johnson. Brent Celek, only 5 catches, but 156 yards for him. Darius Hayward-Bey, 155. Roddy White had a huge game, 135 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Greg Little had 131 yards and 1 touchdown for him. And it appears we do have a caller on the line. Hello, caller.
Yes, this is Kyle Kaiser.
Hey, buddy, what's going on? Yep, it is 30 past the hour, and we do have Kyle Kaiser on the line. What's going on, man? I've heard a little bit about you for the past week. All I know so far is your team, Nebraska at Kearney, finished 10-1, third in Division II. And, man, I saw your video. I watched all 20 minutes of it. It was amazing. You look – I've never seen somebody so fast. And, yeah,
I appreciate that.
You finished over 5,000 all-purpose yards and 38 touchdowns in your career.
Yeah.
And, yeah, man, just talk about your life, your 4 years there. What was it like? Just, I mean, I'm sure you were the star for the team all 4 years. And what is it? I mean, I have a feeling that maybe you could have gone to a higher school, but what made you stay?
Yeah, I mean, my experience there was amazing. I couldn't have asked for a better situation. Coming out of high school, I didn't weigh very much, so not very many big-time Division I teams were looking at me. And there's a few other D2 teams, but Kearney showed the most interest early, and they offered me a scholarship, and I decided to take it. And instead of maybe walking on to D1 and possibly playing 2 years or whatever, I decided to play all 4 years at a D2 school at Kearney.
Well, yeah, I mean, after your first couple of years, after, you know, you became, you know, a great player, you kind of just, you know, I can only imagine it's kind of feel kind of wrong to just move on and say, hey, guys, you know, thanks for your 2 years. And I'm sure you just kind of felt like, you know what, you guys gave me the chance, so I'm going to give you guys everything I have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no question there. And what would you say, I mean, obviously I would say speed, but what would you say your biggest strengths are on the field?
Like you said, speed, but I think being able to play in the slot and also split out is a good strength of mine. Being very versatile in and out. Also, I'd say crisp route running. I mean, in my opinion, I run very good routes, whether it be a fade or a stop route or a corner or whatever it is. I feel like I always got the defender on his toes and doesn't know exactly where I'm going and able to get separation and make a good throwing lane for the quarterback. So that's definitely one of my strengths.
Yeah, man, I saw your video, and the first guy I thought of was Wes Welker. But he's more of a prime-time slot receiver. You know, he gets underneath, and he gets a lot of easy catches, and it's almost impossible to guard. But it seems like you have another dimension, and that's, you know, running out routes and, you know, running past people, and you're a little bit taller than him. So, you know, I like what I see so far. Well, you know, obviously nobody's perfect, but what part of the game do you think you feel needs refining?
I think just always being a student of the game. I mean, going from D2, in all honesty, I probably could have got away with not ever studying film, but I mean, I made it a point with my quarterback that we sat down together, looked through film, made sure we knew what the defenses were doing. But I just want to be a student of the game, make sure I know, okay, if the defense is lining up like this, then I got to do this, and always being on point so the quarterback knows what I'm doing. I know where he's going with the ball. And I'd say just continuing to get physical, getting in the weight room, getting bigger, stronger, and being able to block better. I think that's always a great dimension for a receiver. If he's able to block, that pops the big plays when the running back has the ball in his hand. So I'd say just being an all-around receiver.
Yeah, man. There's plenty of guys out there that can run fast, but to have all those other dimensions with you, you know, obviously you're looking ahead to bigger and better things. The competition is only going to get harder, and there's going to be more asked from you. So, yeah, that's smart, man. You don't want to just, you know, if you want to just breeze by the 4 years and then just said, hey, where am I going next? You got a lot of catching up to do, but, you know, you kept doing your thing and kept learning, and, you know, that's great. So I think that's a huge, huge, well, really good decision by you. And so what made you, I mean, you already talked about it, they showed the most interest in you. Were there any other options available for you after high school?
I had the opportunity to play basketball, but football is always my first love, so I decided to sign early with Kearney. After I signed with Kearney, there were a few other D2 teams that were in the same conference that contacted me, but Kearney, I like the way Kearney spread the ball out. They shotgun, no huddle, and they like to pass the ball. So that definitely attracted me to Kearney right away. I actually did receive a letter from Boise State, and that was right around the time Dan Hawkins received the job at CU. And as soon as he took that job, the recruiting kind of, I don't know if I got lost in the shuffle, but I just never heard back from him. So, like I said, though, I don't regret anything. I had a great time at Kearney, played all 4 years, and would do it all over again if I had the choice.
Excellent, man. Yeah, that's great. It's hard to find people like that. I would say a lot of people would have left, you know, no offense, but just, you know, left that school for the D1 school offer, you know, because, you know, people just want to get in the limelight or whatever it is. But clearly you made a huge impact where you were. And what do you think is going to be the biggest difference? I mean, even if you don't, obviously the NFL is a possibility for you, but I heard also the CFL or, you know, any other league that you might join after now. What do you think the biggest difference is going to be between that D2?
Definitely the competition. I mean, when you get to the professional level, they're the best of the best. You got to be on your game every day, every practice, whether it's in the weight room, whether it's on the field. I mean, you got to be working your butt off, doing your thing. So I think also just the downtime and studying film is another big issue. Being in the conference room, watching film, going over it with coaches and stuff. So I think those would be the major issues or differences. But I think I prepared myself well in college for that, and I look forward to the opportunity to hopefully get that chance.
Yeah, no doubt. And so, you're obviously no football right now, but what do you, when you hit the weight room, maybe every day, I don't know, but are you trying to get, what do you do to, obviously you try to work on your speed and your strengths. You know, what are your workouts to get stronger and what are your workouts to get faster?
Weight room, it's all basic stuff. I mean, bench, squat, your basic thing. As long as you're in there working hard, you're going to get results. As far as speed, getting out on the field, running routes, I'm fortunate enough to have my brother, who's actually going to be quarterback at Kearney, where I just graduated. I'm able to throw him a lot. So I have a quarterback on demand, ready to throw me balls and get him better as well. So, I mean, just always running routes and working on my speed that way. And then weight room is just, like I said, just making sure you're in there doing the lifts, working hard, never taking a day off. So.
Yeah, man, it's all about confidence. And, Tim Tebow, everybody knows about him. He obviously should inspire everybody. It just, if you keep trying, you're going to get to where you are.
Yeah.
And honestly, this is the way I've been living life the last 5-6 weeks because of him. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, man, if you keep trying, you're going to get what you want. And, like I said, I saw the highlights, and I thought it was great. I thought you were just – I mean, obviously, they're just highlights. I'm sure you had a couple bad plays as well. But, just – you wasn't even close. It's not like you made just incredible cut. You just blew by everybody, and you made it look easy. And I'm sure it's just got to be a great feeling, especially for a quarterback to have a guy like you just to air it out whenever. We had a guy – I just graduated from FIU. Or I'm about to graduate this year. We just finished our last bowl game, guy T.Y. Hilton. And, that was our guy. He just – fastest guy, and I swear, like every other game, he had an 80-yard touchdown because the defense couldn't do anything about it. And it seems like
I heard about T.Y. I actually went to school with his. I think it was either his brother or his cousin. I actually played with him in Kearney, so I knew about him. He was a great player.
Was he as fast as T.Y.?
What's that?
Was he as fast as T.Y.?
Oh, he was actually a bigger receiver, so he was. He was more physical, but he had some speed to him for sure.
Oh yeah, well T.Y. was a small guy, but he was just lights out. And yeah, man, it's for I'm quarterback. I'm sure just to have at least one guy just and all else fails, just say you know what, you just run as fast as you can. I'm gonna throw it to you, but it works.
Absolutely.
yeah, man. So what? I mean, how much challenge? I mean, being a student athlete, you still have to worry about school. What was the challenge? Was there any challenges in to putting all out for both sides of your school? Talk about football and, hitting the books.
Yeah, I mean, just time management is the biggest thing. I mean, you got to know what your priorities are. When you're on the football field, you can't let grades bother you. But also, when you're in the classroom, you can't let football distract you from getting your work done. Well, obviously, if you don't. Not getting the grades done in the classroom, then you're not able to perform on the field. So definitely got to weigh them both out. And like I said, manage your time well so you can be successful in both aspects of being a student athlete.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. And it's good. You did obviously a pretty good job of that. And so, all right, you're out of football for the time being. Other than working out, what else have you been doing lately?
Right, I actually... When I was still in Kearney, I was recruited by Hendrick Motorsports, which big-time NASCAR group, like Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt Jr., they all raced for Hendrick. And they actually invited me out to Charlotte to learn to pick cars. And since I wasn't able to get the looks right away for football because of the lockout and other issues, I decided that would be a good chance to continue to work out. And basically, they have a very nice weight facility. They also have full-time strength coaches there. So, I mean, I basically get a workout for free. And then I also learn to change tires on the side. So it's not a bad job, but football is definitely my first passion. I'd like to pursue that as much as possible. But being out in Charlotte with the nice weather, being able to can work out for free, like I said, out there is definitely a huge advantage I have.
Well, no question, man. That sounds awesome. You know, it's still sports. I'm not a huge NASCAR fan, but, man, if I was waiting on something, it's better than working in an office. I mean, you're sitting there out there and having a good time. And that's, you know, I guess they just, what do? They saw your speed, and they're like, you know what, this guy could change a tire in 5 seconds.
Yeah. They definitely want the speed for changing tires. They like to bring in the athletes for running around the car and hand-eye coordination, that type of stuff. So I thought it'd be a good opportunity and a good experience.
Oh, no question. The experience has got to be tremendous. And obviously, like you said, it has a lot of good things to go along with it as well to set you up for, you know, the NFL or wherever you're going next. And, you know, on that course, where do you hope your football career takes you from now?
You know, honestly, I just want to play again. I hope that I can get to the highest level. Until someone tells me I can't play anymore, I want to continue to play at the highest level that I can. And just want to continue playing until physically my body tells me it's done. And right now I feel like I can compete with the best of them. So getting on a team is my biggest priority right now.
So are you definitely heading to the combine?
I don't know if it's 100%. I know Ben, my agent, he's working hard, and we're working hard getting into some other pro days as well. So hopefully those will work out. But it's looking good right now. So hopefully that'll all work out, and I can possibly impress some people.
Cool, man. And this is my last question. You know, eventually, like you said, your football career will be over, and I'm sure you're going to have a great career wherever you go. Everybody else has maybe something on the side. What do you hope to accomplish after football?
You know what? I've actually thought about this a lot, and I've had many conversations with my father, actually, and we've talked about opening a facility where, unlike just a YMCA or a Toy Car Fitness, it's actually just gym space for personal trainers to bring in athletes, and they have the space to work out one-on-one with them there, and just give them that opportunity, whether it be football, basketball, and just learn the fundamentals and have that gym space. So opening a facility like that has always been one of my dreams.
That's cool, man. Yep, just from experience, I mean, it's something that maybe you wish you had, or maybe you did have, that a lot of people don't. And it just gives you guys a little advantage, and, to, you know, like gives, I understand totally where you're coming from. That's great. Just, you know, everybody has dreams, and sometimes just can't reach it, but you're giving them an opportunity to make that possible, and that's awesome.
Absolutely.
And it's like looking down the field before you catch the ball. I know, you know, that you have to worry about stuff right now, but I see you're definitely trying to think about after, and that's cool. It's good to have a plan. And, yeah, man, I'm really happy that you're on the air. Like I said, once I saw your video, I couldn't get you on the air fast enough. But obviously a great year, Nebraska at Kearney. Like I said, you guys finished great this year. Didn't win the championship, but obviously, like I said, you still had a good year. My team, FIU, they had a good year too, best record we ever had, 84. But we lost in the bowl game 2 days ago, which I took about a five-hour bus ride up there.
Oh, yeah.
It's all good. We still had a great year. And like I said, your stats are amazing. And just one favor, I just hope that you you come back on the show soon, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate you taking the time to have me on very much. And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk again soon. Thank you.
I appreciate you coming on the air. And like I said, good luck with everything. And I hope, you know, you accomplish everything that you want.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you, sir. And have a good day.
Yep,
happy holidays.
Too. Happy holidays. Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks. All right, guys. That was Kyle Kizer. I already talked about him. Being from Nebraska at Kearney, just a great football player, and I think he's got a very good career. You know, just because he's not from LSU or anything like that, plenty of NFL players come from D2, and, you know, it's just one of those stories. I feel that he will have a good career, and we'll see where it takes him, and I hope to have him back on the air soon, because he's going to be doing nothing but progressing and getting better. And it's just going to be an interesting story to see how it all works out, because it's all going to happen pretty fast for him. And just moving on, though, I have about 10 minutes left I was talking about football, and I just talked about my stat leaders, and as well, I was talking about the standings, or the scores, and now I think it's time to join and talk about my power rankings. So let's kick it off with that.
Американская фирма Transceptor Technology приступила к производству компьютеров «Персональный спутник».
You guys know what that sound is, and just because of the holidays doesn't mean the Zen Man can't give a little presents to everybody listening out there. I have an extended power rankings for you, and I think it's needed. You know, I'm going to do the top 15 teams because, you know what, there's a lot of teams fighting over, you know, the top five right now. You know, they're guaranteed, but I think it's the bottom 10 in this top 15 that are important and are all alive in the playoff hunt. Let's kick it off. Number 15. You know what? Number 15, I have the Jets. Like a lot of teams, honestly. You guys are just very inconsistent. I don't know what kind of team you are. Defense has been, you know, your main part of your team the last 2 years. Haven't seen it this year. But I still think you have a lot of weapons. So even though you lost last week, you're still kind of in the driver's seat. If you win out, you guys should be fine. The Chargers, I have you number 14. The record doesn't say it, but clearly you guys are a different team than you guys have been all year. So I think you guys have a decent chance at winning out at least and giving yourself a good shot at the playoffs. The Broncos, I have you number 13. Lost last week against the Patriots, but, you know, the Patriots are a great team. And, you know, you should have lost. And I think you still the Oakland loss too, so you guys are still leading the AFC West. So I feel that you guys definitely have a good shot at the playoffs. The Lions are number 12. You guys did win last week. I have you number 12 just because I just feel like there's not enough aspects to your game. I just feel like you guys are just offense and that's it. But I think your defense is getting there. You know, you're getting Sue back finally, but for the defensive line. You guys are good enough to win the Super Bowl, but a lot of work. And your offense is basically going to have to carry you through that. At 11, I have the Bengals. 8-6, and you guys have had a tough schedule being in that division, the NFC, the AFC North. But you guys, if you guys have to win out, honestly, the last two games, if you guys will have a shot, I'm at the playoffs. The Giants, I have you number 10, losing last week. But I still feel that you're a good team. I mean, you know, just because the Packers lost last week, I'm not going to move them to number 7 or anything. Bad game, obviously, last week. But you still have a really good shot. If you win out, you guys are in the playoffs. The Falcons at number 8. Excuse me, I skipped the most important team ever, the Cowboys, at number 9. Winning last week big. And as the Giants, because you guys play each other, the Cowboys also, you guys control your own destiny. So hopefully you guys get a win there. Just to keep it interesting, if the Cowboys win this week and the Giants lose, then the Cowboys automatically win the division with a 2-game lead and 1 game left. So the Cowboys, even without DeMarco Murray, it's going to be tough, but we'll see what they can do. Let's see if Tony Romo can finally be the hero and not the guy that loses the game. The Falcons at number 8, like I said, winning the games that they should win, but at least to a good record. I still think they have a lot of weapons on offense, so definitely have a good shot at making the playoffs and maybe doing something. Texans at number 7. Lost last week, but, you know, it's 1 game, and I think you guys still are strong. Saints at number 6. You were behind the Texans last week, but I'm starting to believe in the Saints. Another huge win, continuing to have a great second half, and your offense is just phenomenal. I think you have maybe the best offense in the league because of Drew Brees. The Patriots obviously still have a great offense, but you guys are by far. I have the Patriots number 5. You guys are both up there because of your offenses. The defense is a little questionable, but when you have an offense like that, it doesn't really matter. You guys are really hot lately, and I see a lot of more games in the playoffs. I feel both of you guys will go very deep. Steelers at number four. You're going to have to get Big Ben healthy. No question about that. I think you should sit him. I mean, the problem is with the Steelers is the coach, Mike Tomlin, does not want to. Apparently, he's the coach. He can make the decision. He can say, you know what, Ben, you are not playing, and then that's it. But if he gives Big Ben the option, Big Ben's going to play. I don't care if he's on his deathbed. He's going to play. A tough player. But he needs to sit the next two games because they're playing two really easy teams. And I don't feel Big Ben has to be out there. And regardless, they're going to be in the playoffs anyways. You need him healthy to do anything in the playoffs. So I think you need to sit him and get him ready for that. 49ers are not in my top three for the second straight week. Have you guys – they're in the top three, but not the top two. I've had them at number two pretty much all year, but I have you number three. Great season, obviously. You were number five last week, I believe, but I moved it back up with the impressive win against the Steelers. And just the defense is just amazing. I think the best defense in the league. And I have you below the Ravens, who I have at number two. The Ravens have a great defense as well. But I think their offense is a lot better with Ray Rice and Torrey Smith, Joe Flacco, Anquan Boldin. I think they're a little bit more all-around team than the 49ers. Ravens have been a little shaky with some losses this year, but I still think come playoff time, they're going to be definitely a team to reckon with. And, of course, the Packers. They lost last week, but it happens. The guys are still 13-1. And I think definitely the favorite to win the Super Bowl. Let's get into my predictions really quick. This week I have Houston winning 28-13 against Indy. Cleveland, Baltimore. Baltimore wins 30-13 at home. Denver at Buffalo. Denver 26, Buffalo 20. Tampa Bay at Carolina. Carolina wins 35-24. Arizona at Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati wins 27-24. Oakland at Kansas City. I think Oakland wins it 30-23. Miami at New England. This is my upset of the week. I think Miami's hungry. I think they're going to win 35-30. New York Giants at the New York Jets. I think the Giants win 30-20. They're on the road, but technically they're two home games for them. St. Louis at Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh wins 20-10. Jacksonville at Tennessee. I think Tennessee wins 23-14. Minnesota at Washington. I think Washington wins 28-23. San Diego at Detroit. San Diego's on a mission right now in their offense against whatever defense Detroit does have. I think they win 42-24. Philly, I think, will beat Dallas 28-26. San Francisco at Seattle. I think San Francisco wins at Seattle 25-23. Although I would love to see Seattle win and keep that playoff hope alive. Chicago at Green Bay. Green Bay should win this easily 27-13. Seattle can do it. I think Green Bay can do it like Seattle did last week. Atlanta at New Orleans, Monday Night Football. New Orleans, too good right now. I think they win 35-20. Here are the standings so far. Here's what we have left for the last two games of the regular season. A lot of teams have clinched already. Let's bring it down. And in the AFC, Patriots currently have the best record at 11-3, Ravens at 10-4. Those two, technically, right now, if the season ended, would have the top two spots in the playoffs in the first round bye. The Texans at 10-4 have clinched. They're pretty much locked into the top three, so they have the third spot as of right now. And the Broncos, as of right now, have the fourth spot with the AFC lead, AFC West lead, and we'll see if they can hold on to that. Steelers have clinched already at 10-4 as the wild card. They could still win the division, but as of right now, they're the wild card leaders, and the Jets are in the sixth spot at 8-6. Another 8-6 team is the Bengals, so they're obviously competing with them. And still in the hunt, the 7-7 Titans, the 7-7 Raiders, 7-7 Chargers, and the 6-8 Chiefs
those bottom three are really fighting over the division, but still mathematically are in the hunt for the wild card. So going to be interesting. In the NFC, three teams as well clinched top three spots here. Packers 13-1. 49ers 11-3. Saints 11-3 as well, but the 49ers have the tiebreaker with a better conference record, and we'll see how that plays out. Saints very alive for getting that first round bye with a few games left. Cowboys have the fourth spot here, 8-6, currently leading the NFC East, and we'll see what happens with that. As of right now, the wild card still looks the same as far as who has it. Falcons and Lions both at 9-5. And it looks pretty healthy, honestly, now that I look at it. With two games left, they have a two-game lead against everybody else. The Seahawks, the Bears, the Giants, and the Cardinals all sitting at 7-7 with tough games this week. Like I said, the Giants play the Cowboys. The Cardinals play at Cincinnati. The Bears play the Packers. And the Seahawks play the 49ers. So definitely you could figure out the NFC this week, but we'll see what happens. These guys got here for a reason, so they're still good teams. Eagles still sitting there at 6-8, are in the playoff hunt. But it is not for the wild card because they're back three games. But they still have a chance at the division. They are two games back of the division-leading Cowboys, and I heard that they have the if everybody tied, the Eagles have the tiebreaker, which is kind of insane. They're the Eagles at 3-1 in the division. So it's funny. But if the Eagles went out, they're going to have if the Eagles went out and the Cowboys have to lose out. The Eagles have to win out, and the Giants would have to lose this week for the Eagles to have a chance. But they are still in it. I've counted them out already many times. But with two games left, it's not like that ridiculous or anything crazy to happen like that. But let me get into my top three plays of the week.
So 9 Sixer turnovers times 2 would be 18 as JaVale McGee in the face of the rookie and the stare down afterwards as well, welcoming him essentially to the league.
That's an unwelcome welcome for Vujicic there as JaVale McGee stretches out all 7'3" or 7'4" of them and then gives them the unnecessary stare. That's what happens. That's what, you know, invokes one of those flagrant fouls.
Yep, which finally brought back an NBA play. It is time for the NBA season, and what a dunk, Jamal McGee. Jamal McGee is just an athletic, tall, very, very good dunker. But here's number two.
Players, the fullback, and Reggie Bush with a big hole, hurdling an offender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins. Reggie Bush streaking 76 yards.
Great blocking up from
Incognito, yes, sir,
with a break, and then forcing Jarius Bird to miss on the back end. Reggie Bush is kind of running. We saw
play it with a high.
Reggie Bush, 203 rushing yards last week. Still can't get over it. I said to myself when he had about 130 that if he just breaks off one big run, he can get 200, and he did. So just amazing for him. And here's play number one. This is an electrifying play for the Colts, and this will seal the victory for him.
As a quarterback in the NFL where he's actually played in the game and thrown a pass, Donald Brown breaking free initially, and Brown off to the races. Donald Brown down the sideline. He's gone. Touchdown, Indianapolis.
No flag. Put it on the board.
That was an amazing play. It kind of brings me sort of on the it reminds me of Marshawn Lynch, what he did last playoffs or two playoffs ago against the Saints. Breaking tackles. This guy didn't really break. He broke a couple tackles, but he was just running around, just never giving up, and he somehow scored, and they gave him a 27-13 lead for the Colts to get their first win of the year. And it's really quick. here is my final thought of the week. Let's talk about college football. It's talked about every year. You know, about the playoff possibility that you could have. That's a big reason why I'm not a huge college football fan. I am. You know, I'm a diehard Panthers fan. I go to every game. And I do watch the bowl games. I think they're very interesting. And you do see a lot of magic happen in college football games. But let's face it, a lot of these teams, if they don't make the national championship, you know, that probably was their goal to start out the season. And I understand you're bringing them to a Rose Bowl or an Orange Bowl, but, you know, even if they win, they still didn't get their ultimate prize. And a lot of times it's because of a computer. I mean, these guys have good records. I think there's about five teams that were also 10-1 or 11-1 or whatnot, tied with Alabama. But Alabama gets the tiebreaker. And I understand, okay, maybe they had a tough schedule as well, but, you know, what are you supposed to do about the other teams? You know, they're not in the SEC. They don't play all these SEC teams. And, you know, deservedly right, Alabama probably was the at least number two team in the country. But it's just not enough. I mean, if you did that in any other sport and just said, all right, these are the top two teams, there's no playoff system, you just, these two play for the NBA Finals and you didn't even have a playoff, you know, it'd be horrible. I just think that you need to have, honestly, I think you need to have a season with 10 games, maybe 11, have an 8-team playoff, and go from there. It's 3 weeks to determine a championship. And at most, say a team plays 13 games, 14 games. It's not that bad. And I still think for the other teams that obviously are not in the top eight, you know, like FIU or something that still had a good year, I think you can still continue to have these other bowl games because it's still exciting. And I had a blast on Tuesday going up to my first bowl game. So I think that is how, if I would run it, if I was, you know, ahead of everything, top eight, even if it was a top four, I think that that'd be solid to give. Because, I mean, especially when you talk about these number three, number four teams, they're pretty deserving to be, to at least have a chance to win the championship. And to tell them no because of a computer ranking and a couple decimal points doesn't make any sense to me. So if it was my idea, top eight teams, battle it out. That's how I would run it. And that's it. Big sports this weekend. Like I said, not only do we have a full slate of games on Saturday, but Sunday we have a full slate of NBA games, and it's going to be amazing. Merry Christmas to everybody. Do not look forward to the Southernmost NFL pregame show on Sunday morning. I will try to have it. Well, let's face it, I don't want to be on the radio on Sunday morning, and I doubt anybody else will be listening on Sunday morning. And it's kind of pointless to have it on Sunday morning because all the games are on Saturday. I have been thinking about it. Today is Thursday, and I will have the show probably tomorrow night to get you guys ready. So look forward to that. I definitely need to have it before the games start. So look forward to the Southernmost NFL pregame show a little earlier than scheduled because of all the games so I can get you guys ready. I'm going to make sure, I mean, it's important, guys. I know it's holiday season, but a lot of you guys are in the fantasy championships now, so very important, sudden death game. Now, I unfortunately did not do well in fantasy football this year. Two leagues I didn't even make the playoffs. One league I actually had the first seed, but lost immediately. So, bad year. NBA starting back up, and I am starting a whole new league with NBA fantasy, so hopefully I can redeem myself with that. But like I said, very important to a lot of you guys to get my predictions. And like the injury report, honestly, I feel is the most important part of the Southernmost NFL pregame show. So pay attention to that. I hope you guys can help anybody out listening to the show to get their teams ready. I know I finished bad, but I still know a lot about the NFL. So hopefully I can help you guys out with that. Next Tuesday should be, you know, same as always, 9 o'clock. We have the dreaded sports talk. Ooh, he's not going to be happy with that. It is not the Southernmost. It is the Dreaded Sports Talk, the infamous Dreaded Sports Talk with Captain Frank of Dread, Evil Rob, and his trusty first mate, Ken. So look forward to that. I will I'll actually try to be on the air. I called in last week. Well, I called in 2 days ago. I was at the bowl game, so it's really not much I could do. But just a quick little update. But I would like to join in that show, just to get in part of the conversation. A great show. So listen to that. Give it a chance. And join me next Thursday night for another edition of the Southern Mo Sports Wrap. And with that, the Zen Man is signing out. And I'll be on in a couple days to talk about the NFL. So look for that. And with that, I'll say happy holidays, Merry Christmas. And I hope all your NFL teams win. Good luck to anybody whose team is still on the hunt. And good luck to any fantasy teams that have a chance at their championship game this week. And with that, I'll see you guys next week. Thank you.
You're listening to Shift the Shore Radio.
I am officially retiring from the NFL and Green Bay Packers. And
here we go. To the 40, the 30, the 20. Touchdown, Chris.
Let me tell you what happened. I make that ass drop like a sack of potatoes. We're grilling the cracker later.
Freeze.
Southern Mo Sports Wrap, only on Ship to Shore Radio.